You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, August 10th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The current generation of black millennials had hopes that a college education would help close the racial wealth gap that's existed in the U.S. for more than a century. Turns out, it's had the opposite effect.
Not only do black college graduates in their 30s today have less than one-tenth the wealth of their white college graduate millennial counterparts, but they're even quite far behind their own parents' generation.
WSJ reporter Rachel Louise Ensign has been diving into the numbers to find out what's caused black college graduates to lose financial ground over the past 30 years. We'll talk with her about it, and we'll hear from a Tennessee resident currently pursuing a graduate degree about her financial outlook. That's after the break.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Americans are currently holding about $1.5 trillion in student debt. That's impacted people's finances across nearly all groups, but it's made it especially hard for black college graduates to build wealth. In a moment, we'll talk to a 31-year-old woman who's facing as much as $100,000 in college debt. But first, let's bring in our reporter, Rachel Louise Ensign, who wrote about this issue. Rachel, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Rachel, can you talk about the promise of a college education that was seen by black millennials versus what the reality has turned out to be?
So obviously, you know, there has been a massive racial wealth gap in our country between white families and black families since the end of slavery. And many black millennials went to college hoping to close that gap and instead are finding that they had to take on so much student debt to do that, that it's still dogging them after all these years and making even getting anywhere close to closing that gap pretty impossible.
So when we look at the data on the racial wealth gap in the U.S., what do we actually see?
So what we found was quite stark, and it showed that not only do black college graduates in their 30s today have less than one-tenth the wealth of their white college graduate millennial counterparts, but they're even quite far behind their own parents' generation, you know, if they had gone to college. So a black millennial who went to college has a much lower net worth than a black boomer in their 30s, you know, really at the same age 30 years ago, who also went to college.
And what kind of debt load are we talking about here? How has student debt affected black millennials in particular?
Well, black millennials are more likely to have student debt than white millennials, much more likely, in fact. Over 80% of black millennials, these are people in their 30s, you know, many people pay off their student loans by that point. So over 80% of black millennials in their 30s still have student debt. And it's pretty significant at that point still, about $44,000 is the median. And, you know, white millennials obviously also struggle with debt, but it's less critical of a situation with white millennials. And basically, this just is a factor that weighs very heavily upon net worth. You know, it's very difficult to build wealth if you have $44,000 in student debt.
So I guess the big question is, why have black millennials fallen behind?
College costs are a huge factor here. So obviously, college costs have risen pretty dramatically over the last few decades. They've risen more rapidly than inflation, than wages. You know, people's salaries struggle to keep up with this, and it makes it difficult to pay for their children's education. In black families, it's particularly acute. You know, black students are a lot less likely to get financial help to pay for college than white students are. And therefore, even if they're getting a little bit of help, they often have no choice but to take on debt to go to school. And, you know, if you're going to a four-year university and you're living there, even if it's a public school, the cost is quite significant these days. So a study published by the St. Louis Fed said that about 64% of white families contributed to their college education of their children financially, and they contributed an average of almost $73,000. So that's an enormous amount of money. But for Black families, only about a third of Black families help their children out financially with college, and the average amount that they were able to give them was just $16,000. So you can see how dramatically different those two situations are. And the journal's analysis of census data show that incomes are also a significant factor in the fact that Black millennial net worth is so much lower than other groups. And in particular, Black graduates' household incomes have grown more slowly than those of college graduates in general.
Okay, for a first-hand perspective on this, let's bring in Ristina Gooden. She's 31 and lives in Nashville, Tennessee. She graduated from Ohio State University about 10 years ago with about $18,000 in debt and is now pursuing a graduate degree at Vanderbilt University to become a minister. Ristina, thanks for being with us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Ristina, tell me, why did you decide to pursue a graduate degree?
So I had been curious about graduate school. My dad had gotten his MBA, and so graduate school was something that had always been on the table. And I had felt this call to ministry and had made this agreement with God that I would go to divinity school. And so I applied and got in, and I said, here we go. We're going to take this adventure. And I think it's important to get a further education, particularly for Black folks in America, as we get more educational experience and more letters behind our names or in front of our names, we are taken more seriously in the boardroom or just in the community in general.
And how's it going?
You know, it's going great. I am in year three of Divinity School at Vanderbilt Divinity School, and it has been a great experience so far. And I have seen the change already in how people approach me and want to have conversations with me as I've gotten this degree.
So tell me about your financial outlook. What is your financial outlook now, and where do you hope to see it go?
I am currently going to be in probably about $100,000 of student loan debt by the time I graduate with this degree. And with the current way of the world, with the current estimated salaries for folks in ministry or even doing theological training or anything like that, it's probably about $40,000 to $45,000 a year, which after paying close to $80,000 for tuition to be in school. To have an outlook of that is not the greatest. I came from the event planning world where I was making almost $60,000 a year and paying off my $18,000 worth of student loan debt. So the outcome is not looking great, but I do hope that one day I'm able to buy a house or something like that. But the student loan debt is definitely going to be a roadblock that I'm not going to be able to shake for a long time.
And do you feel the trade-off is worth it?
I think at the end of the day, it will be worth it. I think that this career, this place in life is important. And I think that getting the educational training to be my best self, to have good conversation with folks and leading them on life's path is super important. And as I pursue a PhD, hopefully, I think that adding those letters to my names gives me more authority in people's lives I'm able to take command of a room, and folks are willing to have really good conversations with me and respect my authority in the topic.
All right, that's Nashville, Tennessee resident Ristina Gooden. Ristina, it's been great having you with us on the show.
Thank you so much, JR. It's been a pleasure.
So, Rachel, you've spoken with people who study economic equity across demographics. What do they say about the prospects for Black millennials and their families being able to build wealth?
The fact that Black millennial wealth right now is so much lower than other groups, it means that it's going to be very, very difficult for them to catch up. And, you know, you just think about when you're in your 30s, it's kind of a critical time for building wealth. Other millennials, this was in a study that came out a few months ago, but broadly, you know, millennials were a little behind. They got a slow start and had debt and didn't really buy homes as much. But broadly as a group, you know, millennials and white millennials in particular are catching up very fast and doing all these milestone things in their 30s, like buying homes and investing in stocks and putting a bunch of money into their retirement plans. But Black millennials seem like they face a lot of obstacles to doing this. And at some point, you know, you're in your 40s, and that's difficult to really catch up.
But Rachel, to be sure, there are Black millennials who actually have found success as a result of their higher education.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there are a lot of Black millennials who don't follow this trend, you know, who have used education as a way to build a lot of wealth and to really build a level of wealth that's very different than their parents. But what I would say, there's also a lot of college graduates for whom it's pretty complicated. And, you know, it's not that they regret going to college or having the career choices that college offers. It's just that it came with this financial burden that they weren't really expecting, that makes the financial payoff of a degree in a professional life not really what they had thought it would be.
And bigger picture, we've talked before in the show about the racial wealth gap in the U.S. How does what we're talking about with college debt factor into that?
So college debt, you know, you think about someone's net worth, it's basically just their personal balance sheet. So they have assets on one side, which are the homes they own, the money they have in their retirement and investment accounts, and all of that. And then they have liabilities, which are basically debts that they owe. And so if you have a massive liability that's just hanging around, like a large amount of student debt, which many Black households do that we looked at, it's going to be very difficult to outweigh that with your assets and build up a significant amount of wealth. And if you have a very large student loan debt that you're struggling to pay off, it's going to be very difficult to build wealth in other ways, you know, just because you're financially strained. It's going to be harder to buy a home, harder to invest in stocks and build a retirement account. And what research has found is that Black households in general are significantly less likely to own homes and also stocks and retirement accounts than white households.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Louise Enzine. Rachel, thanks for being with us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.